everyone. Welcome to Rural BC Centre Radio, the voice of rural British Columbians. Everyone knows that rural broadband is an important issue. It's difficult to imagine that rural British Columbians are going to be able to be competitive in the 21st century economy if we don't have access to high bandwidth and the jobs and the applications and capacity that comes with it. That's absolutely true in every small rural community and region, and doubly so for British Columbia's First Nations. On today's podcast, we're going to talk with Jeff Ward, the founder and CEO of Anamiki, Canada's leading aboriginally owned and operated technology company, BC-based, proudly so. Listen in, here's our interview with Anamiki's Jeff Ward.
Hi, Jeff. How are things in Victoria today?
Things in Victoria are awesome.
Okay, terrific. So, Jeff, I wanted to talk with you a bit about you, about your company, Anamiki, and about Aboriginal and First Nations technology in general. So I wonder if we could start out with just a bit of your own history. How did you get into tech? How did you get into new media?
Sure. I'm a self-taught technologist. I taught myself web and the internet when it was really just kicking off in the mid to late 90s. And at that time, there wasn't a whole lot of, you know, programs that were, you know, educational programs that were teaching, you know, how to develop for the web. So, you know, of course, things are changed now. But at the time, I kind of was self-taught and then got very quickly into the workforce.
Okay. And what led you to ultimately start your own company, Anamiki? And what is Anamiki? What does it stand for?
So Anamiki is an Indigenous technology company. We're based on Coast Salish territory, Vancouver Island. We mostly work with Indigenous-focused organizations, so nonprofits, Indigenous entrepreneurs, First Nation communities, that sort of thing. Anamiki means Thunderbird in Ojibwe. I'm Ojibwe and Métis from the prairies, from Manitoba. So the reason why I started Anamiki is, as I mentioned, I kind of got a really early start into the field. Ended up working for some startups. I moved to California, worked. This is around, you know, the 99-2000 dot-com boom and bust. I was there for, you know, an exciting time, I guess. And, you know, I just, it was very, in the Bay Area, it was very capitalistic, very materialistic, a lot of crazy startups. And when I moved back to Canada, I decided I wanted to create meaning in my life and put my skills to work as an Indigenous young man and technologist to serve our community, the Indigenous community, and create better outcomes, equitable outcomes for Indigenous people. And technology just happened to be my tool of choice.
Okay, so I know that Anamiki received an award a few years ago, Aboriginal Business of the Year, I believe, awarded by the BC Achievement Foundation. What was that award based on?
These awards are meant to recognize Aboriginal entrepreneurs in a variety of categories. At that time, I had one in the small, I think, 1 to 3 person business. Our company has more than doubled in size since then, and we're on a steady growth curve at the moment. So, yeah, it's just meant to recognize a lot of cool things going on within the Aboriginal business community. And I believe I've been one of the only technology companies featured through that awards program.
Okay, so it's interesting you point that out, one of the few tech companies to be singled out. Why is it, in your opinion, that, or maybe I'm wrong, correct me if I'm wrong, that technology and on the one hand, and First Nations and other Aboriginal communities on the other, don't often find themselves used in the same sentence. What's going on with that?
Well, just if you look historically, you know, the, of course, the Indigenous settler relations in Canada, you know, there's been a divide in many areas, and one of those has been the so-called digital divide. You know, many communities in BC are really just getting access to high-speed broadband in recent years, and many communities and you know across Canada are not connected. But we're at a very exciting time right now, especially to be an Indigenous technology company. We're at the forefront of developing innovative technology solutions that better serve First Nations and Métis and Inuit peoples in Canada.
Okay, that's very cool, and I want to hear a bit about the kind of work you're doing in that regard, software, the apps, the web work that Anamiki is doing. But how do you overcome the infrastructural hurdle? You know, it's hard to deliver a really cool, let's say, web-based application to a remote community if they have either creaking or, in some cases, maybe even non-existent connectivity. What's to be done about that? Or is there something happening on that front?
Yeah, there's a ton of really awesome initiatives going on. There's Pathways to Technology here in BC. I'm proud to say that we're involved with that project as a technology provider on the web software side of things. But, you know, their goal is to get every First Nation in BC connected, and I believe it's a really high percentage, like in the high 90s or something like that. And you know, it's just a matter of time.
That's the goal, or that's what's being achieved.
That's what's been achieved. It's really in the high. I think most First Nations in BC have been connected, and those that aren't have a path for connectivity. And, you know, the service is better in some areas than in others, but,
sure.
You know, it's just a matter of time in the same way that you see, you know, rural Canadian towns and get connected. It's just a matter of time. And I believe that Indigenous people have so much to offer and to add from a technology perspective. And I think from a technology from an Indigenous perspective, we're going to see a lot of innovations, a lot of really exciting things happening, and we'll be there to support them through Anamiki.
Okay, cool. So let's talk for a moment about areas of focus. I mean, are there any sweet spots right now in terms of developing technology-centric solutions to some of the challenges and opportunities that Indigenous communities find themselves in BC and elsewhere in Canada, healthcare, education, media, culture?
Yeah, exactly. So we work in all of those areas, and we have clients from all different sectors, from, like you say, education, health, to economic development and culture and language revitalization. We've been in business for 14 years, and we work in all these areas. So we're activists at our company, you know, for the Indigenous movement. We like to push things forward. And it just happens to also be that we're technologists. So technology is our weapon of choice in the fight for equitable outcomes for Indigenous peoples. And, you know, if one day we're working on a health-focused app and the other days we're working on education, it's all moving, you know, positive outcomes for Indigenous people in all of these areas. So we're happy to participate in all of these opportunities.
Right. Okay. So one of the challenges that face Indigenous communities everywhere in Canada is youth unemployment and hope for young people who might still be on the res or in other Indigenous communities. So is technology, never mind the applications themselves, but as a source of employment, something that young Aboriginal British Columbians perhaps should be looking at? And if so, if they don't know how to go about seeking out a career in tech or new media, any suggestions or recommendations for anyone in that situation who might be listening to this podcast right now?
Yeah, there's all sorts of opportunities for, in particular, Indigenous youth to choose technology as a career path, and it's one area that, so as a social enterprise with Animiki, we have, you know, certain aspects of our company where we give back. We have a bursary program. We're involved, sit on volunteer boards with the First Nation Technology Council and their Bridging to Technology program. We're really passionate about other Indigenous youth choosing technology as a career path. And so technology is, you know, is an interesting, shaking things up a little bit as far as employment goes, especially for rural communities and especially First Nation communities where there may not be a lot of employment opportunities. So, for example, for me with my company, I rarely meet my clients face-to-face. Everything happens remote. So we're based on Songhees Nation in Victoria. We have clients from coast to coast, and we're able to, you know, to work effectively. And, you know, one of our team members actually is in Ontario, for example. So we, you know, just the technology is allowing people to work remote. And we know that people are happier and more successful when they're in their communities, when they're around family members, where they have support systems. If you compare that to, say, for example, the trades or, you know, working in construction or seasonal type of work where people have to leave and go to work and be gone for sometimes several months at a time. You look at the oil patch, oil workers, where they're just having to travel for work. I believe that technology is going to allow people to work from their communities, make an awesome income, and, you know, have real positive impact using technology.
So do you know of any other cases where a small company has sprung up on, let's say, a First Nation reserve in the tech sector that embraces and understands what you're talking about and is running with it right now, or is Animiki really the only one so far, the first of, I'm sure, many in the future, but right now?
Yeah, as far as software development, mobile apps, that sort of thing goes, I think we're one of a few. But there are nations and groups of First Nations that we know about that have invested in technology and business, technology businesses. One of those is SX Cloud, based out of Kamloops. They have a high-tech data center on reserve.
Right.
And it's, I think, a consortium of three or four First Nation groups got together and invested in technology business. Even all the way out to Nova Scotia, member two First Nation also has, you know, some high-tech businesses there, data centers, that sort of thing. And, you know, others have other initiatives going on as well. So what I am seeing, and I hope to see more of, is a shift where First Nations and Indigenous nations are investing and relying less on resource extraction and, you know, these kinds of, you know, gas stations, casinos, you know, hotels sort of businesses, and moving into, you know, more like knowledge work, IT, that sort of thing. And I believe that technology is going to be a huge avenue for economic development and for Indigenous entrepreneurs over the coming years.
Okay, well, I think that clarion call is a perfect place to end this conversation, Jeff. If any of our listeners would like to know more about you and Animiki, how can they track you down online?
You can check out Animiki on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or our website, animikii.com, Animiki, or just Google Jeff Ward, Animiki, and you'll find us.
Okay, terrific. Jeff Ward, thank you so much for your time. Congratulations on all the success to date. Good
thank
luck
you.
In the future, and we look forward to chatting with you more soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
Take care.
Okay, folks, that's it for now from BC Rural Center Radio. If you'd like to know more about Aboriginal Indigenous technology or rural broadband and rural technology in general, give us a shout at area code 250-353-3016 or drop us an email at ruralbcinfo@gmail.com. You've been listening to BC Rural Center Radio, radio for rural British Columbians.